Follow you into the dark by Riccio, read by Pecquinio. See, amazing, special, extraordinary, and maybe that's what he wants them to believe. Kame's good at faking it. He's so good at faking it that he makes it all real. People remember perfect Kamenashikaze because he glitters and he shines. He's drowning, drowning, drowning. The only comfort might be that he's not the only one. It's open defiance when he tells the press that he has no intention of leaving Khatun. It's the truth, and no one likes the truth. So, really, Kame's not surprised when management starts breathing fire down his neck. He takes it, listens, bows his head, but he doesn't budge at all. He repeats that he doesn't want to leave, that he likes Khatun, that what work he does, he would like to continue it as Khatun's Kamenashikaze. They scream, they shout, they yell. They tell him what his life is. They tell him that he's got to look at the big picture. He looks. He sees their picture, and he closes his eyes. The industry isn't run on sparkling gay and friendship and the desire to explore the depth of talent. The only thing more frequently exchanged than banknotes are probably false promises. Kame's had enough of those. They'd all be lying if they all said that they never saw it coming. People could spot it a mile off. Akanishijin's dreams and Kamenashikaze's ambition. It's like asking a free bird to fly against a force of nature, putting them in the same room, on the same path, in the same vicinity. It's like asking for a summer storm. But it does confuse him. Jin and Yamapi, so fucking special. Why? They're injected with the same formula. They all went through the same years of training, of self-doubt and sacrifice. They all were sent through a screening process and all flaws within them filtered out. So, what is it? Kame wants to ask. What the hell gives them the right to get away with everything?
I don't get away with everything, Kame.
And Yamhapi seems almost tragic, face crumpled. It's not like that. Then tell me, what is it like?
I don't know. What makes you special? What makes you the dream boy? What makes you perfect idol, Kamanashi? What makes you the one we should all aspire to be?
There's a bite to his voice. Words spiky like barbed wire. They probably had this conversation hundreds of times. Different words thrown in a familiar pattern, a change of clothes and hairstyle. They've been here before, and it's not just accusation. It's also a statement of facts.
If they ask you to go solo, you have to take it.
Yamapi tells them, voice toneless and expression blank. It's back to that, to the resignation that the choices they make.
I could say no,
Kame replies, or say no.
Are you sure?
Yokai Ningenben comes with a certain pressure. It's a classic. It's going to be heavily compared to the original. It's more than a pretty boy demon with a stick. It's almost something deeper, but Kame thinks it's out of his grasp. It taunts him. He could learn the lines. He could paint emotion on his face, but it's not enough. But Kame does exactly that. He learns his lines and buries himself within Bem's stoicism. He goes to Akihabara in a long coat and a hat, buys two box sets of DVDs, one from the 60s and one from a few years ago. He drums a pen against paper. There's a mind map drawn in different colors, with small pictures stuck in some bubbles. Kame remembers reading Nobuta wa Produce. The novel was depressing, and the ending temporarily had him avoiding the edge of a rooftop, had him kicking the sheets off his bed in his sleep. He recalls the tightness of breath, the unreturned calls. He never blamed them. Not one of them, because there was six of them. And Shuji's thin face seems to flit into his mind as Kame writes notes on his mind map, draws lines between Bem and Beru and Bella, and then draws lines to a bubble neatly labeled as humans. Underneath humans, he writes things like judgmental and blindly accepting the common perception within society. And most importantly, he writes scared. For Beru, lonely, innocent. In Bella's bubble, wishes for warmth. Bem's remains undescribed, solitary. Kame sometimes calls Nakamaru Opa. It's not cute, it's not really anything. He likes it when Nakamaru gets flustered and bothered and hides his face in his hands. Kame knows that it's a ridiculously stupid habit. But he keeps going. It helps that Nakamaru reacts. Kame uses his atrociously accented Korean, English, and Japanese to tell Nakamaru, Sanghaeyo, I love you, aishiteru. Because Nakamaru whimpers and asks, why is this his life? Kame laughs. Because Nakamaru can pretend all he wants. But they both know he doesn't tolerate it. Nakamaru likes it. It's how they operate. It's just how it is. If he didn't, maybe things would stop making sense. If he didn't, Kame might come to a standstill and pathetically, feebly, weakly ask, "What's wrong with me?" There's something wrong with everyone. But Kame doesn't think about it. He doesn't have time to think about it. Neither does he want to. "Oppa," Kame says one day, when they're driving to location for an outdoor shoot. He's sitting in the van next to Nakamaru and gazing out of the window. "Oppa, sangheyo." "This is Japan, Kame," Nakamaru says, but the smile's in his voice. "What is my life? You're always saying these silly things." He complains like it's some enormous burden. "Kamenashikazuya, confessing to me all the time."
"Well, you see, if I kiss you, you'll become a prince," Kame teases. "Wouldn't you like that? To become a prince?"
"Do you need me to be?" Nakamaru replies.
Kame keeps looking out the window at passing lights and landscapes. He wonders if he'll ever explore them. If he could see a world so vast underneath a blue sky. And truthfully, I don't know what I need. So I won't kiss you. Kame's an idol first. They're all idols first. Humans second. Ah, he realizes. Suddenly, them doesn't seem so far away.
Kame doesn't always care about tomorrow. He hardly has enough hours in the day as it is. Tomorrow's just one moment closer to the unknown. For now, Kame just wants to hold on to things he knows. A challenge is different from the unknown. A challenge is something that he can strive towards. Kame's used to challenges. He's built a foundation on them. There's a betting pool on the ratings for Yokai Ningenbem. It'd be almost cruel, except that Kame exceeds expectations. He goes for the win and soars higher than anyone could ever expect. The truth is, Kame hates losing. He's a competitive bastard that won't function unless he's hungry, tired, and succeeding. Sometimes, he hates the system. He wants to get out of control, yell and smash things with a baseball bat. But he knows better than that. He knows to win the game, you have to make it yours before you can screw the rules. When he makes the jumps through the air, the leaps over railings, when it's green screen with wires, he almost forgets the world. There's a surge of energy and he's lost. Just for a second, Bem comes to life and he screams and feels so far away from humanity when he clutches his face. Then Kamenashikazuya's back when Cut is called and he thinks that it'd be easier to be Bem. And not that long ago, Bem existed as a stranger and now he's... well, he's someone. Cast and crew all praise his performance. He bows politely and Kame never hides a smile. Kame cannot deny it. The taste of success and joy it brings him, and the fact that he did things right. If he closes his eyes, he'd see what the world sees. Kame sees rest, he sees darkness. Truth be told, he sees what this is. Nothing. So he tries to do exactly that. Kame closes his eyes to Waku and Shuji and Bu and looks only at them. And he wears long coats more often than anything. Lets his voice drop a bit more in tone when he's in meetings. No one remarks on it. It's obvious because it's what he does. He has to get it right. He wants to see nothing, opposed to the bigger picture, because when he looks at that, he sees himself breaking and falling and everything awful. Kame doesn't want to see that. He wants either nothing, or he wants what he has right now. Taguchi buys him a walking stick, Koki gives him chocolate, Ueda tells him to tie his hair back during dance rehearsals. Nakamura shares an umbrella with him. Kame wants to ask Bem so much. Wants to know if Bem ever went to the ocean and was pulled in. Whether Bera and Beru dragged him into the sea so that he got his hair wet and they all struggled and wrestled like children. He wants to know if Bem ever felt the sun shining so warm and comforting on his shoulders, feet padding through silky soft sand. It stops his heart just for a second when he remembers that Bem wouldn't take his hat off in front of others, even if it were rude to keep it on indoors. He remembers that Bem can't feel the sun through the layers of his clothes, and Kame's breath is caught in his throat. Bem is nothing like Shuji. If he doesn't practice religiously, his singing isn't exactly up to par. Kame also dances like a slinky, well, that's what Ueda and Koki once described it as. Nakamura was far too nice to comment, and Takaji just said, "Ah, the Takazuya Desert, right?" And Kame bought both of them lunch that day. Ueda and Koki's bentos mysteriously ended up in the trash. So why is it, how is it, a pretty face isn't enough, that Yamapi, who sings through his nose, seems to retain the same vacancy in his eyes 24/7, gets put on a pedestal? Then knock me down, climb up and claim your throne. And that was from some conversation over something so trivial, and they were eating takoyaki with the beer they were drinking. And Kame remembers saying, eyes on Yamapi and unable to tear his gaze away, because Yamapi is beautiful, in the low lights and hair droopy and curly and unkempt, and he's better like that, always better like that. If I do that, then it'd be boring. But now, Kame wonders if the rules of the game have changed.
Does it matter that the world's watching you? Fuck it, Ueda tells him.
Kame can't help but watch Ueda, sparkling and smiling Ueda, who seems so sweet like a bunny, then vicious like a wolf when someone gets on his bad side. Kame would know. He's been on the receiving end of Ueda's right hook before.
What's it like, changing your image?
It's not a change, it's just a rule. Ueda hesitates, pours Kame some coffee. They've got 10 minutes before dance rehearsal. Today, Ueda brought coffee in a flask for everyone because no one has time to dart between the studio and the cafe down the road. They'd trouble the assistants, but for some reason, the coffee they make for each other seems better. Kame takes a sip. You're an actor, Kame. You're an idol. And you aren't? They both know it's different. That if they were to draw a Venn diagram, Ueda wouldn't really fit in the idol actor singer areas. Maybe he'd be in the circle titled with artist. Kame took his camera to mouthpiece. He took a photo of Ueda on stage with his copper hair tied up and a microphone in his hand. He has a photograph stuck up on his bedroom wall, next to the one of Koki on a motorcycle when they took a trip to the countryside. I'm Ueda Tatsuya. You add mouthpiece to my name, you add cartoon to my name, you add runaway to my name. It's like I have modes. You just choose the setting you want for the appropriate occasion. Ueda says seriously, I think that's what used to make me want to hit you. I never really understood you.
You wanted to hit me because I pointed out your inadequacies. You weren't helping at all.
Ueda laughs. That too. But it doesn't change the fact they don't have to care so much. The Golden Boy versus the Dream Boy. That's how it's always been. It's what he's used to. But now, Kame is not so sure.
Koki turns up one day, a
After a long day of filming and he's there on set with hot chocolate and coffee for the entire staff and a car ride for Kome. He turns up, hands Kome to Monogiri, and they cruise the highways for 2 hours until Kame finally decides it's safe to talk. What if I want to live a life that's my own? Cookie parks the Madodaiba, the two of them looking out the windshield and across the river at the rainbow bridge and all the lights that form an artificial galaxy. What if I want to tell them it's not what I want? Maybe we're all just imagining it, some stupid idea that I might be forced to go solo. Cookie lights a cigarette and they share it. Never mind the immaturity of indirect kisses. They've shared a hotel room, clothes, and food. They're pretty much immune, and it's not as though anyone can see, not in the dark. Not when it's just a talk. This type of stuff, it should be my own choice. For them, they choose it. I don't want that path. I don't want to do this alone. Finally, Cookie says, I don't see it. What? Your mind is already made up. You've always been the one to get what you want. The one who's most likely to run people over with your car if you don't get your way. So, do it. Just do it. I can't. Why? How the hell would I know? Kame snaps, furious. He flicks the butt out the window. I don't even know why I'm worried about this. It's not going to happen. He repeats himself over and over again that it won't happen and that it's no big deal. It's just paranoia. It's just a faint possibility. And if it happens, Ueda really will form mousepiece as a permanent unit. NTT will have a party in the pants of all the girls in Japan and you'll be you. But it's not what I want. Cookie laughs. And since when do we always get what we want in the world? I don't know. And that scares him. I don't know. But I don't want this. I don't want to be like them. Would it be so bad? And Kame repeats himself, a phrase he detests so much, but they're the only words that form in his mouth. I don't know. He doesn't want to leave Katoon. Kame's about ready to cling stubbornly onto Nakamura's leg like a petulant child. Bem wouldn't want to be human alone, Kame thinks. For Bem to be human, there's no sense if he's human without Bera or Beru. It'd be like he's human, but he's dead on the inside if they aren't by his side. You make things more complicated than they are, Yamapi tells him. I wouldn't leave. Who are you trying to convince? Yourself or the world? Truth is, he had hoped that Yamapi would have had been in a drama again this season. He didn't want to compete with Ueda. He didn't want to be in the same damn season as Sakurai freaking Cho. He wanted it to be the same challenge all over again. Shuji and Akira, Gokusen and Kurosaki, Yamanade and Code Blue. He never treated Katoon as his fallback. He never saw them as a backup plan. Kame thinks about it, and no, Katoon wouldn't have been his first pick. In all honesty, Kame would have chosen something else. Maybe a lifetime of roaring crowds and his sweaty hair plastered to his forehead and a uniform with his name stitched on the back. It's strange, the way things work, because he can't help but see Katoon as his team. They weren't his first pick, and he didn't think it'd be a permanent drafting, but in the end, he thinks the uniform he wears now is all sequins and glitter. It suits him in a way he never thought would be possible. It's a lonely path, isn't it? He doesn't ask Yamapi. Kame just watches as Johnny puts him on the bench and plans. Kame wants to know whether Yamapi will make it through alive. He shouldn't care. He shouldn't be bothered. But still... But you do care, Yamapi says. He forms a con with one hand, poking Kame's cheeks with the fox face.
It's nice. Thank you. Tell me, honestly, if given the choice, if you could make the decision all over again, would you have stayed in news? If Nishikido had stayed, would you have stayed? Tell me, Kame, if Shuji and Akira had been permanent, would you still have stayed in Cartoon?
Stop getting into my head, he says to Yamapi. Stop it. Don't pull me down to your own personal hell.
Yamapi smiles. Look close enough and there's a birthmark in his left eye. A tiny brown smudge that's usually erased in Photoshop.
Look close enough.
Yamapi's eyes aren't all that blank. They're guarded.
I would never pick you over Cartoon.
Are you sure?
He's lying on the bathroom floor, Kame's on his stomach, cheek pressed against cold, white tiles. He stares at nothing. It must be morning because light is creeping through the window by the bathtub. He still hasn't gotten changed from the night before, from the clothes he wore to the ghost sport recording.
Why does Yamapi ask him, are you sure? What does it matter?
He ponders over the conversation, the one they had just before Kame went to the studio, the one that occurred when they're passing in the halls of the gym show. Someone tugs on his ankle. Takachi lies down next to him, on his back. He looks to the side at Kame, concern written right over his face. It's easy to read Takachi. He's like the billboards in Shibuya, so bright and clear and willing to advertise when he's happy or sad or worried.
Kazuya.
Kame blinks once, twice, three times.
He sighs.
Takachi reaches a hand out. Kame never objects. Lets Takachi's fingers interlock with his. He squeezes gently, and it's a relief when Takachi squeezes back.
Close your eyes, Takachi advises. Have a nice dream. I'll still be here when you wake up. And, true to his word, 2 hours later, Takachi's still there.
Finally, Kame finds the courage to ask.
If I were a demon, if I were to change right here and now, would you be scared of me? No, Kazuya.
So, if I were human and I were to change from Kazuya to Kame, from human to idol, would you still choose me?
Yes, Kazuya.
He decides to test the waters, to see what's so powerful about those three little words.
Are you sure?
Takachi's hand is warm, encasing Kame's tightly.
I'd always choose you, Kazuya.
It's after a long day of rehearsing and singing and blocking, when Kame sits down on the floor with everyone, tossing his drink bottle from hand to hand. It's not really a meeting, it's just them, sitting down. It's just that.
If you went solo, we'd be fine, Nakamura says suddenly. We'd be okay, we'd encourage you.
We've always known you were ambitious, so if that's what you want, then do it.
Through gritted teeth, he snaps. I already told you, I don't want to leave.
So, what's all this about? Wada snaps. What's going on with you?
I don't know.
Is that all you can really tell us? Koki says harshly. Kame, that seems to be the only answer you can give us, and that's not you.
Really? Then tell me, what is me? He snaps.
He looks at Takachi, waiting for a definition, waiting for some form of fight, for something. He so dearly wishes he didn't, because Takachi's answer is simply,
Kazuya, Bera, and Bero would want them to take the chance to be human.
Why are you all pushing me into this? He shouts, standing up. Kame is shaking all over. He's more human than anything, more strained by emotion and confusion than ever. Maybe, in some other dimension, they would have been happier as a baseball team
than as a group of idols. I'd rather them be team players in a band.
Why do you think you know what I want? I might be selfish, but...
And now they're all on their feet. Voices overlapping as they tell him what would happen. That it'd be fine. That they would be okay. That it's different this time around. That looking at it in the long run, it would open opportunities for all of them. They would be all right. Anyways. Kami should do this. Kami should do that. Kami will be amazing no matter what. He's not sure who says it. But Kami, you don't have to worry. And that's just it.
What about me? What about me when you're all right? When you're all fine and okay and happy? You'll be fine. You'll be okay. But what about me? Pushing me to do this alone? What about me?
We're trying to support you, Nakamura protests.
I'm trying to support us!
Kami explodes. I want all of us, not just me. I'll die if it's just me. I'll stop breathing. I'll keep drowning. And you will too. All of you will. So don't make me do this alone. Don't ask me if I doubt my decision to be here. With all of us in this together. Because I made my choice. And I don't regret it.
Are you sure? Yamapi asks from the doorway.
They all turn to look at him. And no one says a word.
What about me, then? Yamapi repeats, right back to Kami. What about me, when you choose them again?
This has nothing to do with you, Kami tells him, tense all over. He doesn't want to go through this again. He doesn't want to outline his choices once more.
If you push me into this, I will never forgive you.
For what? Yamapi asks.
For making me care about you. It hits him like a summer storm. Kami wants to know how long Yamapi's been staring at the big picture. Forced to look at it with no rest in between. He wants to know if Yamapi's tired. If Yamapi just wants a break from it all.
Close your eyes, he tells Yamapi.
They sit on the floor, backs against the mirror. It's just the two of them now.
Just close your eyes. Don't be scared.
I'm not.
Are you sure?
He wants to tell the director that the drama should have a happy ending. He wants Bera and Bero and Bem to have their happy ending. He doesn't want them to fade away and disappear and let the world mourn for them. He wants them to run across the sand with bare feet and the sky about to swallow them up. Kami thinks it's too much to ask, but he hints towards it. He says it to Fuku and An, and they agree they should have a happy ending. Oppa, Kami says when it's another photo shoot. Oppa. I'm sorry for losing my temper at everyone.
And Nakamura just buries his face into Koki's shoulder. You know, I did not sign up for this when I entered Johnny's.
He complains.
Koki pats him on the head, laughing. I don't think any of us did.
Says the one who used to tear the T off the masking tape with our names on it,
Ueda retorts.
Says the one who punched Kami in the face for pointing out his mistakes. Nakamura reminds.
Says the one who made mistakes, Taguchi retorts.
Says the guy who might have spilt the cream over the tatami,
Kami recalls. Did we ever figure out whose fault that was? Or should we just call it even and say it was Nakamura's fault?
When did you start caring?
Yamapi asks him. They sit on a train, listening to Mr. Children. It's the last train out from the location Kami was filming on.
It's Yamapi's iPod, but he's got Kame's coat over his shoulders. Winter's slowly been sneaking up on them. When did you start thinking I was special? Kami retorts.
I don't know. And it's such a familiar answer. Yamapi looks at him, lost. Everything's
changing now, isn't it? It's not Kame and Yamapi or Shuji and Akira. It's not like how it used to be. Why did you start asking me if I was sure? Why did you want me to choose? Because I had to choose. Because Ro had to choose. Because Jin had to choose. He almost feels sorry for Yamapi. Because Kame knows what it's like to have his world fall apart within moments. He has made choices, but it's not people. He's made choices, but it's bigger than that. When I chose being an idol over baseball, I thought that one part of my life was over. Yamapi turns off his iPod. But I never looked back, and I don't regret it. Why? Because being an idol is just that. It's being an idol. I'm still Kamenashikazuya. I'm still me. I might have doubted myself. I certainly wanted to walk at times, but it's not something I want to take back. Who knows? Maybe I wasn't that good to play pro. Who knows? Maybe I'm a better idol than I am a ball player. Kame forms a cone with one hand, pokes Yamapi in the cheek with it. Yamapi stares at him, almost weirded out. For what it's worth, I know you're special too, Kame says simply. He realizes that it's going to take time. It took a while for Cartoon to become who they are. It took over 5 years for Kame to want to fight for them. It took him even longer before he realized that he'd choose Cartoon over everything else. So, Kame thinks that with Yamapi, he might take a lot longer. Kame's not Ben. He's not Shuji, and he's certainly not perfect. He might be special, but still. Can't buy DVDs of the original, can't pick up a stack of manga, and he certainly doesn't know how to draw it all out on a mind map. You'll choose them, Yamapi tells him. Kame shrugs, because it's true. He'll always choose them. Of course I will. But maybe you should try and climb up and replace them. And Yamapi repeats it to him. That'd be boring. Well, things are changing. Close your eyes. Why? Because the big picture isn't always everything. Kame's known that for a while. It's more than the big picture. It's more than just rest or darkness. It's more than being special. Kame asks, if you close your eyes, what do you see? Nothing. But Yamapi closes his eyes anyways. I see nothing. Describe it. I just see black. Kame closes his eyes too. I see black as well. Yamapi asks him what it means. Why they're closing their eyes on the damn train. Kame never asks. Just keeps his eyes shut. They remain like that. All the way until the last stop. When they have to get off. And that's when Kame tells him, you'll be all right. That's what it means.
Running through, running water. to the heart of things sometimes.